Then Super Connected is an eclectic show with a focus on post-punk and guitar-driven music. But on today's episode, I am playing a roundtable discussion I hosted with some jurors of the Polaris Music Prize. I'm a jury. I've been fortunate to serve on the jury for a few years, even fortunate enough to serve on the grand jury a few times. And I brought together this wonderful crew to discuss heavy metal music and its place in the Polaris Music Prize. Is heavy metal music properly represented in the Polaris Music Prize? What should metal musicians do to gain more recognition in this country? And which metal albums should have gone the distance, whether that's gain a spot on the long list, short list, or even win the whole prize? That and more on this roundtable discussion. I'm joined today by a wonderful panel of Polaris Prize jurors and Campus Radio representatives. Ricky, would you like to start things off?
Sure. Yeah. Okay, so I'm Ricky Castanedo Laredo, and I am the outgoing music director of CJSF, the current designer for CITR and Discorder magazine, and I've been on the Polaris jury for 4 years now, I want to say, and I've been on the grand jury. I was on the grand jury that elected Backwash to win the Polaris a couple years back.
Okay, cool. Troy, how about you?
My name's Troy Lemberg, the music director here at CFUV. I was trying to think when I first year I was a Polaris juror. It could be 2018 or 2019. Now I'm drawing a blank on which year I started. I guess if I went back through Polaris winners, I'd probably figure that out. I've never been on the grand jury, and yeah, I also... I don't know what else to say. I host a radio show that plays loud music.
Music director at CFUV.
Yeah.
I've done that for a number of years.
Yeah, since 2016.
Okay, Omar, you're next.
I'm Omar Hussein from CJLO in Montreal. I host a show called Hooked on Sonics. I was the former music director and currently on the board of directors here. And I was on the Polaris jury since 2018 or 19 also. Which is kind of funny. It seems like we all started on the jury.
We all joined around the same time.
Yeah. And I was on the grand jury last year.
I just wanted to state, I don't know, I've been on the jury since 2017. And I've served on the grand jury twice. I served in 2017 for La Papessa, and I served most recently 2021. For Cadence Weapon, Parallel World. So, yeah, I feel very fortunate to have those experiences. But before we get underway and having our discussion about metal music and its representation on the Polaris Music Prize, just for people who may not know and are listening to this, how would you describe the process for Polaris? You know, how does a record go from being released and being listened to winning the prize at the very end?
So the Polaris is a Canadian music prize. It's probably my favorite of the music prizes that exist in North America because it's based on merit, and which is a very ambiguous metric for measuring anything. But I do think it plays in their favor because it allows, I think, the juries to really decide what merit means. Like, what does it mean to them? What does it mean in music? I think it also causes some confusion as to what jurors agree and disagree on. But essentially, the way that the Polaris works is we listen to music as people who usually vet music for radio or host or whatever. And we nominate albums for the long list. And so we nominate it in a private group where we discuss on this private group, like, the merits of this album, why we think it should win, so on and so forth. People kind of go back and forth on that discussion. And eventually all those nominations get actually voted on to go onto the long list of the Polaris, which is 100 albums or 50 albums. One of the two.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's 40.
Is it 40 albums? Okay,
it's 40 and then it gets whittled down to 10.
10, yeah, for the shortlist. So
yeah,
some ambiguous large number of albums get nominated to the long list, and then we vote again out of those for the shortlist. And then the prize selects the grand jury, usually the most vocal participants, jurors of the year, or one of the albums that they're really championing. And then the grand jury has a pretty lengthy discussion that's usually fueled by food about who should be winning. And then it gets whittled down yet again to the last three albums, and then we choose the winner.
Yeah, pretty much. Basically sums it up, I think. Yeah. I think you break up an interesting point about the merit. There's like no real criteria apart from the fact that it has to be Canadian.
Yeah.
And that the album has to be released within a certain time period, so that it could be eligible for that year. And one other thing that has come up many times now I've seen is that the album does have to be a certain length. So.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mm. I think it has to have 5 songs and it has to be over, the total thing has to be over the 20 minutes long.
Which could be detrimental to some louder genres too, like grindcore and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Already.
Is there anything else that we should mention about the process? Like it's like the grand jury process historically and famously has been very hush hush. You can't really get into like the discussion per se, just like how the album is selected.
I think like it's all basically based on what people's personal perception of a certain record is and how they can convince other people to agree with them, more or less.
Yes, there's definitely...
And like overall too, like on you know, like even when we're discussing recommendations and stuff like that, a lot of it really comes down to just trying to convince people why you like this record and what are the reasons why, and hoping that that will provoke some of the other people who haven't even heard of that record to listen to it, and then maybe get other people on board to potentially nominate it or to vote for the long list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I guess getting into the meat of what we want to discuss, do you feel that the Polaris Music Prize does a good job of championing or representing the Canadian metal community and all of the artists and genres and subgenres within that community?
I kind of have an answer for that. I don't see how the prize can actually champion a certain genre, but I feel like metal has like a problem in it of itself in that I don't really feel anyone really champions it. Like if you want to go outside of Polaris, if you want to talk about, you know, we're doing this right now where people are in Texas now for South by Southwest. Like you want to talk about these sort of conferences like that, or even, you know, even like Pop Montreal or things like that. There's no real metal representation or like a large metal representation at any of these things. And I don't know whether I feel like that's probably more of a larger industry kind of problem, that whether people just don't have, this sounds pretty rough to say, but whether people just don't have an open mind to open themselves up to listening to something that's a little bit heavier than what they're used to or what they're comfortable with, to see why somebody would actually, you know, say like, this is a certain thing, that there's merit to this. It's not just noise, you know, or something like that, to try and explain to people. That I kind of see that there's that problem all across the board, not even including Polaris, that where, you know, if you nominate a metal record, you really have to push someone who's not familiar or comfortable listening to heavy music mm-hmm. to check it out. And then the fact is that if like there are people there who just don't have any sort of stomach for, you know, aggressive vocals, then they just may discount it right off the top versus whatever you could tell them or what are the pros of it, you know?
Yeah, it's I agree with Omar that, you know, it's not really about the championing portion of it. I think that's one of the things that the Polaris does fantastically well, which is like by allowing us as the jurors and selecting us specifically because of our knowledge and genres and such, I think that they actually do a fairly good job of getting metal albums nominated and punk albums nominated, because you can see it in our little like hidden secret hangouts group. You can see all of it. And I say this as someone who has pretty much, I think every time every year I've run in the Polaris, I have nominated a metal album or a metal adjacent album. And so it's there, right? And even last year we had Big Brave that like did well for like a little bit, and then they petered out in the selection process. And you know, I think what really sticks out to me is that, oh man, I have so many thoughts on this. So one thing is that I think, one thing I think is that metal, as Omar has already kind of pointed out, it's like it doesn't have enough people within the jury that appreciate it as a genre that isn't like, you know, it doesn't have to be technical. It doesn't have to be melodic, or, and it can still be really, really interesting and really enticing, right? But it's because it's a harder genre to get into, especially with like some of the heavier stuff, like, I think a lot of people dismiss it outright as like, this is unlistenable. So already that, I think production has a big part to do with it, because a lot of metal albums won't get the kind of massive production that so many other bands and acts kind of get. But I also think it's a problem within metal culture itself. I think that metal, you know, I think the division between like the rest of the music world and metal is really evident in like festivals, right? Like, the Sled Island lineup this year, I think, has like one metal act, which is like very normal for Sled. Sled usually has like one iconic metal bill, and then the rest of it is not metal at all, right? And it's this idea that metal doesn't play well with others that I think really muddies the water for jurors and for metal as a viable choice for a winner in the Polaris, because I think metal also tries to isolate itself, or does so in a way, you know, it has... A lot of metal has very problematic histories. It's not an incredibly inclusive genre by any stretch of the imagination, or at least it wasn't. And I think stereotypically still isn't. And so I think obviously that plays against it in a prize like the Polaris that is also championing, you know, like merit, but also equity. It's championing diversity. It's championing underrepresented voices, which like, sure, metal is underrepresented, but like, it's also like, so often it's a bunch of white dudes writing metal music about goblins, right? Like, or at least that's the perception.
Yeah, no, that's true though. Like, people do think that, and they're not
totally.
They're not willing to check out a record that somebody suggests if it's like the band is like the band, like, for instance, Ancients with two eyes, and the album's called Voice of the Void. You know, if you're somebody covering house music, electronic music, how likely are you to check that out? We'll have more from our roundtable discussion with Ricky, Omar, and Troy after the break. That's a really interesting point about equity, because that is something that Polaris has done a lot of work in strengthening and rectifying over the past couple of years. And not only are we seeing that in the makeup of the jury, but also the winners and the composition of the shortlist themselves. And oddly enough, as you were saying that, I was thinking of a band that we actually promoted here at CJLO as part of our Metal March Band Event calendar, whose album made the Polaris Prize longlist last year, Vagina Witchcraft, which I felt like that was a record that I feel could have had a broader appeal to everyone based on those aspects that you just described. And
I feel like based off the discussions, I felt early on a lot of people were discussing it, and I felt it would go further. But I think that's what we mentioned earlier, like everyone talks about in the beginning, but once you have less albums to vote on, there's all the people that, as we mentioned before, just don't understand metal. They don't even think of voting for those later when it's less albums.
Yeah, and I think you end up falling into a situation where people will think, because like, you know, when you're voting on the long list, you only have a certain amount of records you can vote for, and people will tend to vote for the records that they are championing more themselves than kind of picking something that's a little bit outside of the box for them. If it's doing something, it's at least exposing people to this sort of stuff and maybe trying to help people broaden their horizons by trying something different. So maybe in the long run, it's having some sort of effect. But I mean, just to bounce back onto the point that Ricky mentioned about how on these festivals, you'll have that one metal band that's always on there on the list. And it's usually always that one metal band that's, you know, that crossover metal band or something. Like it's the Death Heaven, or it's the Liturgy or something like that. It's never something that someone who actually is a real metal fan will look at and be super excited about. It's always something they'll look at and kind of roll their eyes at.
Or even if like CFEV, we do like a weekly music series in the summer called Eventide, which is like a free concert, and we would have like a metal night that one of the local societies did, a metal night, but I was always encouraging them to book like more extreme metal bands and that kind of thing, but they always wanted to book like the most, I don't know, friendly sounding metal for that night, because it's a free outdoor concert in downtown Victoria next to City Hall. But so like they'd always be booking like, I don't know, more like power metal and stuff that's like more easy for people to like digest kind of thing. So it is interesting, even when the metal people are given the opportunity, they don't want to like push it too far.
Yeah. When we talk about like exposure and visibility, I remember a few years ago, Polaris used to do something where they would publish all of the suggested albums by jury members. So even the albums that didn't make the long list would be published on this big list they called the longer list. And they stopped doing that, but I felt like that was not the right move, because I felt like that was such a perfect tool for even more music discovery. Like, instead of thinking these are the 40 albums and then the 10 albums that represent the jury's interests, it turns out it's even more varied than that. And there would be a handful of metal albums or punk albums or thrashy albums that maybe wouldn't belong on the long list or short list necessarily, to the detriment of Polaris. But does anybody remember that, the longer list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was some sort of reason as to why they discontinued it, but I don't remember. I think there was some discussion about that too.
I mean, I think maybe like you don't want to see how the sausage gets made, more or less, and like seeing the breadth of albums. But still, I think like having a list of everybody's suggestions is just, that's how music discovery happens. Yeah.
And like bands that make that list would be excited to know that like their album was like
nominated.
Oh yeah,
or talked about at least, right?
Somebody cared, like somebody suggested it.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, half the time of being in a small independent band is just sitting there being like, nobody cares. Anything like that would be amazing for a smaller band.
Yeah, let me tell you, if about being in small hardcore and metal acts, it's like I would love for someone to tell me if we've been nominated for the Polaris. Not sure we have been, but
yeah, especially for a genre or like a band that isn't a genre that hasn't been as adequately represented among, you know, shortlist and the winners. Ricky, I know you talked about some, like all of the factors really that lead to a lack of representation, and Omar, you just discussed basically the broader conversation of industry support. So does metal not have enough industry support, whether that's like publicity or touring or just overall resources, in order to reach the ears of jurors?
It's kind of a weird thing, because I think it was a few years ago, and it maybe was in Vice or something like that, but some sort of article came out where the Spotify numbers for metal streaming was actually higher than pop music streaming. And I mean, everyone knows like, metal is a huge industry. I mean, yeah, a lot of these metal bands, you know, they sell merch versus other bands that, or they sell merch or they actually sell records. Whereas, you know, some of these really super hyped up indie bands don't sell records at all compared to some metal bands that are selling records. But there's just that disconnect between, I don't want to say like the mainstream media, because it sounds like I'm in that case, but there's some sort of disconnect between media and the public in general as to how large metal is and how much of a this is gonna sound really capitalist, but what kind of viable economy it is. You know, like metal is a genre that actually sells. Metal is a genre that draws people out, whether it's, you know, it's like the largest niche group of people that you can market to in a way. So it's always bizarre when you see that and you see these festivals and you see these bands that just sell crazy amounts of records or merch and stuff, and then they just can't get any sort of larger attention from festivals or from any sort of media coverage like this. But then these guys will go out and they'll play sold out shows. So even smaller metal bands will do well compared to, you know, larger known indie bands. It's a really confusing disconnect. And the only thing I can really think of as to why it is that, it's kind of like what Ricky was saying, that there's kind of like a stigma around metal, you know, like people will think it's not inclusive when it actually can be extremely inclusive, but it also can be non-inclusive also.
But like every genre.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, totally. That's the case of every genre, right?
Like... Yeah. You know, it was when I first started getting into metal when I was younger, it was with a group of friends who were super metal guys, and I was, you know, way more into hardcore music. And they would kind of make fun of hardcore emo core bands. And I would be like, but look at your guys wearing face paint also. Like, it's all the same. You know, so it's really funny in that sort of way. Like, a lot of these sort of things are all the same across different genres. It's just a matter of, you know, people just being open to other people kind of hopping in, which, I mean, like you guys said too, every genre is like that. Punk's like that. The indie snobs are like that. It's all across the board. Yeah. I don't know why with metal, it's such a huge thing where people just aren't willing to give it a shot. And I think a lot of that just has to do with, I think people are just scared of loud guitars and screaming.
Talking about just like the number of bands, this is just that stat from the Encyclopedia of Metalome or whatever. It's like 7.263 bands in Canada per 100,000 people. Like, I don't know. That's not even including like the adjacent like hardcore bands, because they don't allow those bands on.
Yeah.
The Metalome, right?
But see, like, it's that shit too, right? That it's like that something like the Encyclopedia Metalum would be like, well, but that doesn't count as metal, right? And
yeah, but still, like, seven bands per 100 like K people in Canada, that's like quite a big population of metal bands totally. In Canada, right? So
I think that, you know, I think what Omar and Troy get at here also is like, there's the exclusiveness of metal is there by virtue of the genre itself. Like, the what makes metal is difficult for people just on like an oral sense of like, I don't want to listen to Feedback or screaming or whatever, right? And then apart from that, I think metal really suffers from having a lot of old guard crap around it. Like, a lot, like, I think about, you know, I did 5 years of being the music director of CJSF, and I read my fair amount of press releases, and I'll tell you that some of the most atrocious press releases in the world are for metal bands. And I think that part of that is because a lot of the people that push metal in the same kind of, like, it's almost like this annoying bro culture. Like, yes. It's like, right? And metal doesn't have to be that way. Like, it just really doesn't. And that's not to say that we should only be voting for, like, you know, the pristine bands that are treating it like the artistry that it is or whatever, right? But there is this kind of this moment where metal in its own marketing kind of makes a clown out of itself. And I think that because of that, a lot of people don't take it seriously, right? Like, we scoff at some of the stuff that metal is able to come up with because it is ridiculous.
But is that due to a lack of resources, or is that just a culture within metal that everybody else is alienated by?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's people being alienated by metal culture because some bands really like revel in that in that kind of view of the world, I guess, or that cultural phenomenon. But I think the other part of it is too, is that, like, I don't know, there's very few labels and very few promoters I've seen that are treating metal with a severity that isn't like, that isn't just like ridiculous. Like, it isn't like, oh, dark for the sake of darkness, or like, or party for the sake of party. Like, to treat metal with the same finesse that we treat an album like Little Pimienta's albums or Backwash's albums, right? Like, if people don't like to talk critically about metal beyond like, I don't like it because it's too loud, and because sometimes metal doesn't really give itself the room to hold itself critically that way, right? Like, you do see a couple of those albums float through the Polaris list, though. I think of what the hell is this band called? I had no hope for them, mind you, but I really liked the album. They were called Vile Creature.
That was right? A great record.
It was a great record. Great record. Should have made it much further than it. Respire, even though I'm the one that nominated it. I don't care.
I also pushed to Respire a lot on that year. So.
Yeah, like, incredible, incredible artists who treat the genre with respect, and they approach it like
the culture, like, helping with inclusivity.
Totally.
Respire is like a perfect band to showcase as, like, this is a band too that I feel like if somebody had to kind of open their minds up, that they could really appreciate.
Oh my God. I agree completely. Like, I was so, I made a case for the Respire album that, like, I think fell on mostly deaf ears, and it's hard, right? Because Godspeed You won once, and to be honest, I think what Respire did with Black Lion was write a much better Godspeed You album than Godspeed has been able to write in years. So, and maybe that's my controversial opinion there, but
yeah, that's a hot take.
That's my hot take.
I might agree with it. But talking about like the industry support kind of thing, I think going to like, when I think about locally, when like people are trying to like offer grant writing support kind of thing, whenever I try and mention it to any band that like in the heavy stream, they always never want to like even try applying for grants, which is something that could be useful for more publicity or hiring someone, right? But
that is definitely something I've experienced too with suggesting to heavier
bands. They always just assume they're not going to get it. Like they're like, no, yeah, like they don't give grants to heavy bands. But I'm like, well, no one's applying for it. Like the money's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really too bad. But I also can see like why they would not approach a Factor or a Canada mm-hmm. Council for the Arts when, you know, like if I say Factor, yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind is just like Factor Core Music, which is very not metal and probably would never be metal, but it's obviously a shame. I wanted to know, Ricky, like in trying to convince people to listen to a certain record, how would you pitch to a juror or just anybody who doesn't have familiarity or knowledge of metal to listen to Respire or listen to Vile Creature?
I mean, I think my approach, at least with Respire, was to try and align what I thought was good about Respire to a more general music music appreciation, right? Like that Respire album was really easy to do that with because it has a lot of kind of extra things that adorn it that I think a lot of people who just like music couldn't really get behind. Like they put a lot of effort into like extra instrumentation, the way that they went about like composing their songs is very obviously not rooted specifically in metal, right? And so I approach, you know, as a music director, I think we all learn to be critical of all genres, and we learn to be critical of all genres as an art form, right? Like it's like looking at a painting. There's many different styles of paintings, but you, if you have the right tools, you can look at a painting and like, you know, like take it apart. And I think music's no different. You're just looking at different kinds of brushstrokes, different palettes, but it's still music, right? And there's still, if you know how to write about it, you can still find the places of what is that? Like, the points that everyone that enjoys thinking critically about music can look at and be like, yeah, I agree with that, or mm-hmm. Yeah, I disagree with that, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I try not to let it live in metal, which maybe is maybe it's not that wrong. Maybe we should all live in metal, but you know.
I think though that's what you got to do though when you're trying to appeal to someone who is not, you know, a metal listener or someone who would not listen to louder or any sort of music like that, is you kind of have to appeal to those touchstones that everyone kind of goes to, right? To try and convince them to give it a shot. And then hopefully they'll hear those things in the music and then start to be able to appreciate the other stuff in it and some sort of way to kind of draw them into it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes yeah. I find with Polaris, I think sometimes with people, it just comes down to like, well, it just doesn't do it for me. Then yeah. Like, where do you go from that? Because
I don't think you can go anywhere with someone. If someone's going to tell you that this just isn't working for me, I mean, you're kind of facing a brick wall then at that point. You can
close, y'all.
Totally. I mean, you can talk until your face is blue to try and convince them as to what it's doing for you. But, you know, some people like pineapple on pizza and some people don't. What are you going to do about it?
Well, I mean, we've seen in recent years some genres have more of a crossover appeal, hip-hop being probably the most overt example of that. And I'm wondering what you all think metal would have to do in order to achieve a similar result. You know, should there be a more concentrated effort in finding people within metal press in Canada join the jury? Or, you know, what should happen?
Man, that is such a hard question to answer, because I think that one of the problems that the Polaris does face, and they've addressed it, like they keep trying to address it, which is like ghost jurors, all the jurors that don't comment or comment once and then vote, right? And I often think that it might be those jurors, the ones that are not going and listening to that, that might be really deciding like what
gets onto the list, yeah.
Totally, right? And some of the jurors have been there for a long time, and hey, I'm not here to come after anybody's like role in the Polaris, but I do think that to some degree, I love being on the Polaris juror. I don't want to get kicked off, but I also see the value of maybe having that be a much faster turnover of jurors, right?
Like term limits.
Because I think there's probably some old school jurors out there who are still just championing like jazz albums from the coast, you know? And it's like we just don't, we don't. I don't know. Maybe
Well, to
now
be
I'm sure.
fair, there hasn't been a lot of jazz
But there hasn't
representation
been a lot of.
either.
No, as soon as I said that, I'm like, you know what? There hasn't been a lot maybe. Oh man. Yeah, I don't know. I think about, you know, and maybe this is has metal has had its like cultural reckoning is sometimes where I have landed in this conversation, right? I think about Backwash and I think about Cadence Weapons album, and it makes sense to me that albums of the of like hip hop albums were to be the champions of the last
Hawaii
couple of years.
Mighty, yeah.
Right, Have I a Mighty, right? Like it makes sense to me, not only because they're great albums and totally deserve that win, but they also make sense. They're culturally relevant albums because they were made and released at a time where the topics they were tackling were right at the forefront of everybody's mind, right? And I think that you know, it goes back to the conversation that Polaris has about merit, right? And that was the huge conversation we had about Backwash when I was on the grand jury. It's like, how do we value merit? Because what we see in Backwash's release was merit, like that, you know, it was somebody against all odds creating an incredible hip hop like goth rock album, right? And I just don't know if metal has had its reckoning yet, its cultural reckoning. What significance would it mean for a metal album to win the Polaris, right? Or to be, and that's a tricky conversation. I see some people going like that, but I do think so.
Well, just to quickly interject, I will just say, so in terms of winners that could be considered metal adjacent, we have Fucked Up, The Chemistry of Common Life, 2009, Godspeed, we mentioned Alleluia, Don't Bend, Descend in 2013, and Backwash, God Has Nothing to Do with This, Leave Him Out of It in 2020. And, you know, two, maybe all three of those. There, it's debatable whether those acts could be considered heavy metal. So
That's the thing.
I just wanted to say that.
Totally.
That's the thing is that I wouldn't even consider any of those metal, you
No.
know? I mean, like you could consider them loud rock or
Yeah.
something like that,
But is that too
but
much of us enforcing the old guard, like lines?
I guess so, but I mean I think the only reason why I kind of roll my eyes at those being considered, you know, metal, or if you want to say metal adjacent, like even the metal adjacent records that were on there, like I'm looking at the list of what you had of ones that made the long list. And, you know, I mean, Black Mountain, I wouldn't really consider them metal. At least, like, you know, Cancer Bats, you know, Protest the Hero, Bison BC, I wouldn't consider Mets metal. Ken, you know, like Ken, whatever, like stuff like this. You know, there's stuff there that we can consider metal, but I mean, even like what Troy's saying, are we kind of then boxing ourselves in? But there's no way I would consider the ones that won metal records. Like that's not even what you would, when you would describe to someone what their first genre would be. You know, you have a punk record, you have a post-rock record, and you have a rap record, you know?
Poorly.
And you know, to touch on what Ricky was saying about how there hasn't really been that cultural moment for metal. I wouldn't necessarily say that there's a, you know, there are metal records that have something to say, you know, like an important
Yes,
thing to
the
say. There
Vagina
definitely are
Witchcraft
records like
record to
that.
me, that was like
Totally.
a record of the moment.
Yeah, like there are definitely records like that. You know, the Big Brave record too, I feel like had something to say too. But I'm wondering if it has to do more with the fact that the general listener consensus is that it's easier now to accept hip hop because it's been so become part of pop music that even if, like, you know, obviously these records that are, you know, that are considered hip hop that won the Polaris are not pop records per se, but it's easy for culturally to kind of bring someone into a hip hop record who doesn't necessarily listen to hip hop than maybe with metal, because I don't really feel like there's been a pop metal, like a metal moment for pop. I don't know if I want to explain this properly. Like, you know, you can think of Metallica, you can think of something like that.
Yeah,
but like, has there really been another kind of like pop metal band, like a band, like a metal band that has kind of crossed over to that extent? And I don't think there really is one.
No, what I was going to say, when I just hearing you talk about that, like Metallica, and obviously in the 1980s, that was probably the closest music had to metal being a part of pop music. But I also sit on the Heritage Prize, and we have yet to award a metal act or metal adjacent act as a Heritage Prize winner. DOA has won, and now No Means No has won the Heritage Prize, but Voivod is always in consideration, never wins. I suggested Northern Haze 1 year, and that didn't go very far. So even in the eras in which metal was possibly at its highest popularity or was part of the monoculture, even then we have difficulty in making sure it's recognized by Polaris.
It's wild. Metal is like it's a interesting and strange genre that even when you think about like the 80s when it was super popular, there still was like a divide there, you know? Totally.
And I mean, even in our conversation now, like this is us falling into the same circles, right? Which is like thinking about the heyday of metal being the 80s. I'm like, actually, I would argue the heyday of metal is like right now. There are so much incredible and amazing metal being made at this very moment, right? And we are seeing it a little bit more in the mainstream, right? Like, you know, say what you will about Death Heaven and their terrible latest album, but
you don't like shoegaze, man?
I love shoegaze. I just don't think that was very good, but whatever. That's my opinion, you know, like write that off.
Second hot take of the night.
Second hot take. I'm sorry, I'm full of them. Yeah, so. But like I still respect Dev Heaven a lot because they've managed to put metal on in a place where the more like casual music listener can approach them and like them, right? And I think that gets into another good and bad thing about metal for me anyways, at least what I've witnessed in the world, is that people who like metal only like metal, right? And so I think it really boxes those bands in into like, well, we only write for the people that like metal, and it they don't really exit the box into like, how do we make this music that everybody can like, right? And it's like, is there a softening? I mean, maybe, but I think there's bands that have successfully torn through the mainstream in a way that hasn't really compromised what they want to do, right? And their latest album aside, Death Heaven's a great example of that. And you know, there's a number of metal bands that I think have done that. I mean, one of the weirdest ones for me is The Body. Like, The Body is incredibly popular for a band that's as difficult to listen to as The Body is. But they've stuck to their guns, and they've definitely created a music that is like, it's metal in its bones, but it can be appreciated beyond metal. And I think that's, I don't know if that made any sense, but I guess what I'm trying to get at is like...
Like their most recent collab with Big Brave is pretty folky. Brave. It's like folky. Yeah.
Super folky.
Yeah.
But it also counts as CanCon, so.
Yes.
I was going to say, like, I should say, like, just about my point about the Heritage Prize, Rush has won twice, but they're like a prog rock, prog metal band. So to me, it's still like not as clearly heavy metal as perhaps a band like Voivod would be.
Probably more like proto, like influenced early metal bands, right? Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if there was like any like media on metal being made in Canada that you wanted to highlight here, because if in talking about jurors, and if we want to see greater representation on the jury, you know, they just have to be out there. So is there anyone or any organization or a group that you wanted to shout
out?
Does it have to be
like, I think that's the thing, like I think a lot of metal media is not based in Canada, or if there are writers that are Canadian, they write for US-based media, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do the jurors have to be Canadian? Like I was to say, like I feel like there's Canadian journalists that could be in this, but they're based in the States. But like, would that be viable, or do they have to do all their writing in Canada? What are the rules for jurors?
Yeah. Well, I mean, someone like Carl Wilson, who writes for Slate, which is an American publication, but is a Canadian writer and has discussed a lot about Canadian music. I think that's...
Or like Sam Dunn, who does a lot of those. He did like the Iron Maiden documentary. Mm-hmm. He was from Victoria, and like whenever the Victoria reissues come out, he always writes about those metal albums. So.
I would just defer to community radio stations. Yeah. I mean, it's easy. It's the easiest thing for me to say considering this panel that we're on. But I mean, when I was the music director at CJLO, the metal spins were always so high that we always had, you know, half of our top 10 was always metal records. And I think that maybe still be the case now, that that's where you really would go for metal music, is community radio has always championed metal music. And I feel like that's where you would go to find people who would continue to champion in these sort of areas.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Every time there is an act like on the short list, like even Backwash, when Backwash made the shortlist and there was that special on CBC, I remember seeing a bunch of comments of like, wow, you would never hear this on the radio. And it's like, false! You hear it on the radio all the time, just not CBC radio.
Yeah, I mean, there's some party.ca that I go to them every now and then. They're more focused on punk, mind you, but I think because they also know that their market is quite narrow, they often throw in a metal band or like a weird like punk adjacent band. So I check that list. They release a newsletter every week, and I keep tabs on that. But yeah, I'm Canadian specific metal publications, definitely it's just radio. Like I play a bunch of metal on my show, and I know the late nighters at CJSF do too. So
I mean, you want to talk about CBC should have a metal show.
Yeah,
but
hands down,
you know.
I mean, I don't think that's ever gonna happen. Like the fact that there's a hip-hop show now, I think is huge, but even that show, I think that was probably a long haul to get that on the air. We're gonna take a quick break, but on the other side of that, you'll hear more of our conversation on heavy metal music and its place on the Polaris Music Prize coming up. We could move on to talking about any records or artists that you felt deserved to go the distance. So whether that's, you know, at least just make the long list or just make the short list or like should have won outright.
Oh man, Big Brave. I feel like
Vital should have gone.
This last the collab record that they did with The Body is probably the only Big Brave record that I didn't recommend first. Someone beat me to that one. But every time they put out a record, I'm always on that Polaris board posting about it, trying to get people to listen to it. But yeah, I mean, it was nice to see them get on the long list, but I would have really hoped that they would have made it to the short list.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I think we've already talked about a bunch of them, like Vile Creature, Respire. Like
that Respire album, I'm going to come back to this hill because I have to. That Respire album, the fact that it didn't make it far at all was really disappointing, because not just because it's an album that really that I really felt was like, if we were talking about merit, that album had a tremendous amount of merit in it. It was doing something with the genre that is pretty unheard of in modern metal, and you know, it's not a fully metal album, mind you, but like, I don't know. I just really felt like it was really doing something quite new and exciting with the genre. So to see it, like, I think it didn't even make the long list. That was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, this is more just like, I guess, based off of like what we're all voting for. But like, I find when I'm voting, like, I don't like fill it with like metal stuff, because I'm also interested in other genres. So like,
Totally.
I only like usually pick one or two if it's really, but usually I'm also interested in a lot of the other things. So I feel like we're all like maybe voting for something different. So it's not like even all the jurors that do like metal are voting for the
Vote for
same
the
thing.
same one.
Yeah.
There was that, was it Frail Hands, that band from Halifax? That was a record that I really liked too.
Yeah,
That,
I might have
God,
forgotten.
that record's so good.
and it, I feel like last year was the only year where records I voted actually made it to the long list and the short list. But like that Frail Hands record too was just one of those years where, you know, you put out your vote for it on the long list hoping it makes it and then it doesn't. And you're like, oh.
Totally.
So
I
yeah,
try.
I know that feeling very well.
I also voted for that Frail Hands record. If it's any,
There you
so
go.
good.
There you go.
Yeah.
You had one vote. I just wanted to say, like, maybe this is like very basic, but I think for the year that they had, and the fact that they were a band with such longevity that they were still doing new, exciting, engaging work and arguably some of their best work, I was so hoping for The Wake by Voivod to make the short list. And not just to like correct historic wrongs per se, but I genuinely did think that The Wake was probably one of their strongest records. I don't know if that's a hot take. Like, I do think it was really great. I do really like the work of Chewie and what he's added to the band since and the momentum he's given the band. But, you know, they won the Juno, they won this international prize. Like, it just like it had such a perfect narrative element to it. So I was rooting for them so hard, and I was so sad when they didn't make it.
I feel like the fact that Voivod doesn't have a Heritage Prize yet
I
is
know.
like, yikes, guys. What are you doing?
I've tried, but
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, like, Voivod is the Canadian metal band that you, like, when I think of Canadian metal, that's the band, right? And that's the band that people internationally talk about.
Yeah, just
And,
in
you know,
terms of influence,
yeah, and when you hear about bands
huge.
like DOA and No Means No finally getting on those things, like you would assume that Voivod would just be a shoo-in, but what's the
I
deal with
know.
metal, guys?
That's what we're trying to answer. But yeah, any other records or artists that you feel like that should have made it? It was robbed.
Big Brave thing just makes me upset. When I think just talking about it's just making me bummed out.
Well, we don't want
Yeah,
that. We don't
so I
want
think
to
with the
feel
Big Brave
bummed
stuff,
out.
like, even though it's metal, I feel like it's a pretty accessible metal album, which is why.
Yeah.
Well, but maybe that's just my ears to it. I'm like, oh yeah, people could get this.
Yeah. Totally.
Ricky, are you
I'm trying to think if there
thinking?
was another album that I. Frail Hands got mentioned, Vile Creature. Yeah, I don't have anything off the top of my head. Yeah, nothing off the top of my head.
Oh, Spectral Wound.
Oh.
Oh yeah. And
Yeah.
there was like a lot of buzz around that record.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad. Well, maybe a less depressing conversation, but in this album cycle, are there any records that you think like this should make it? This is what I'm keeping an eye out. This is what I want to succeed.
Oh, I got one. I'm ready.
Let's
This is
go.
I'm really excited about the Anti-God Hand album. Wretch. And honestly, Anti-God Hand is just an incredible black metal band. Like, it is wild how good it is. And maybe that's a very like simple way to put it, but I just really think that we don't have a lot of like incredible black metal coming out of Canada. And Anti-God Hand has so far not let me down in any release, but their little EPs are great, their split is great. They have a new full length coming out soon, which I can only assume will be great. Because it's just very, it's doing something kind of new and wild with the genre. Like, it's black metal in its core and in its spine, but everything around it is got something else. I don't know. It's like post rock, it's spacey, it's psyche. But has the violence and the fierceness of black metal kind of carrying it through. Very good album, very good band.
Sick.
I've just got a wide open slate. So.
You're taking suggestions.
I'm just waiting for that new Big Brave record to come out.
I haven't sat down with a lot of the records that have been suggested yet, so I haven't had time to. I can't really think of anything that's come across my desk here at work, because I feel like also a lot of like louder stuff I have to like curate for the station rather than like get sent to me, right?
I don't know if this is like cheating, but just to reference the show that I did would be last week. I talked with David from Tunic about the new record that the now duo did, Quitter, and I've been going back to that a lot. But I feel like that record kind of straddles the straddles metal punk genres. But
Tunic, I will second that. Tunic, Quitter is an incredible album. I think that Exhaling was really good, but yeah. Quitter is like just a step above. Oh, yes, I got it. Let me just make sure that this one. Oh, no, this is one that was missed, unfortunately. But maybe this fills in a little bit of that question of like things that didn't get any traction that should have. Milspec's album, World House.
Oh, man, that record is amazing.
That record's amazing.
That record's amazing.
Yeah, that was the one I was thinking about. It came out in 2020, so old now. But incredible album, hardcore. But again, just doing something that you don't hear all that often, like very, very classic and not classic at all in a lot of ways. So, yeah.
Well, if there are no other suggestions, I guess that could wrap up our discussion about metal music and the Polaris Music Prize. Obviously, like, we're all jurors. We love being on the jury. And this is like part of how we appreciate it and love being on the jury is just having these moments where we can apply some critical thinking into it. So thank you to all of you for joining me for this discussion, for joining me on my program. And I guess we'll hear from each other real soon. Keep an eye on the message boards.
Yeah. See you there. Roll up your sleeves. Let's go.
Thank you so much to Ricky, Troy, and Omar for that amazing conversation we had on heavy metal music and its place on the Polaris Music Prize. To find out more about the Polaris Music Prize, be sure to go to their website, polarismusicprize.ca. You can listen to heavy metal programming right here on CJLO 1690 AM, including Grade A Explosives, The Noisy Loft, and The Iron Club on Sunday evenings. Be sure to go to cjlo.com/volunteer if you would like to become a heavy metal music DJ. We are always on the lookout for more DJs to host these types of programs. You can also listen to past episodes of Super Connected by going to mixcloud.com/francellafialos. That's mixcloud.com/francellafialos. Coming up next, we have a heavy metal adjacent show in the Sewer Spear hosted by Chris the Frog. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
This is Hazy. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Broadcasting Vancouver's haziest since 1950.
Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting sort of live from unceded Musqueam territory. And this is I Come From the Mountain, a show that doesn't happen on a physical mountain, but it does happen in the mountains of your mind. And today's episode is brought to you by the last journey into the proverbial.